Welcome to our teaching for today. Please be patient with our audio. Ki-ti-sa means when you take. This portion begins by God telling Moshe to take up a census of everyone over 20. Everyone was to give a half shekel as an atonement which was to be used in the service of the Mishkan. It was intended to be a memorial for the Mishkan. The word atonement is the Hebrew word which means to cover as in make reconciliation. So, it was a memorial ritual they would do for what the Mishkan provided for them, namely, the opportunity to make reconciliation. We need reconciliation to God so that we can be in the future eternal kingdom of God. In this present messianic age, reconciliation has been provided for by the Messiah Yeshua through his death and resurrection. Hebrews 9:22 NKJV says, "And according to the law almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Without a blood sacrifice there is no remission of sin," also see Leviticus 17:11. He was not a human sacrifice. He was God who came as a man to bring a first messianic era. Yeshua says in a prayer to God in John 17:5 NKJV, "Glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Hebrews 9:28 NKJV says, "To those who eagerly wait for him he will appear a second time." I would like to begin today by talking about always staying faithful to God's commandments. There are personal consequences for not keeping God's commandments properly, and for breaking trust with God. This can lead to separation from God in our present life and from God's future eternal kingdom. Isaiah 59:2 NKJV says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." Many people do not understand the urgency of keeping God's commandments. Most people want to do what is right, but they often do not understand the obvious. Namely, that God designed us and knows what is best for mankind and wants what is best for us. It should be easy to understand that doing what is best through God's commandments is the right way to live. Not doing what is right brings evil and pain into the world. Just like hitting your fingers with a hammer is the wrong way to drive in a nail, not doing what God says to do may incur consequences. I heard a story once about someone who kept getting his hand hit by a hammer while holding something for someone else to hit. Finally, someone told them to make something that went between the hammer and what was being fastened so they did not keep getting hurt. It was an easy fix for unbroken fingers. Perhaps they were driving in stakes, I cannot remember. Following God is a better way to live because God's commandments are intended to help us with life. It keeps us from living a broken life in the here and now, and from breaking off our relationship with God through sin. Sin, not keeping God's commandments, separates us from God. Eventually we must all stand before God for how we lived. God will judge everyone because he is a just God, and those who bring evil into the world and do not change and do what is right will face God's wrath. Hebrews 10:29-31 NKJV says, "Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord three witnesses.' Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It will be beyond terrible for those who decide to live in sin. I do not think that anyone wants to face those consequences. Some, though, are callous and just want to do. They hold on to their false reasoning and ignore the truth of the matter. For a few moments of doing things their way, they give up the blessings for doing what is right and eternal life in what will be an amazing future kingdom. God's ways are good, and he is a powerful God. Desire to be connected to him. Our God is always a good God. If he did not properly apply consequences to people's actions, he would not be a good God. People that steal from others can sometimes bring deep emotional pain and sometimes significant loss to the people they stole from. I remember my dear sweet aunt being significantly upset about having $20 stolen from her. Another person suffered a significant loss for a financial mistake they made, and they died from the anxiety caused by their loss. Those who say that God accepts those who bring sin and pain into the world are deluded. He would not be a good God if he did. I would rather be connected to the good God of the Bible than cause people pain and anguish. We should never want to cause people harm. Proverbs 26:28 NKJV says, "A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it." Any type of sin can bring pain into the life of others. Proverbs 12:20 NKJV says, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy." Who is a counselor of peace? Psalms 119:165-167 NKJV says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation. And I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." Those who kept God's commandments found that they can give us great peace in life, and they loved God's commandments. Won't you also find God's peace in life through His Word and His commandments? Be pure, do not let down your guard. The Hebrew word shamar can mean to guard or to keep. The word guard for most people is a stronger word than keep. We should probably think of guarding when we see the word keep. Can you see how keep and guard are close in meaning? Strong's dictionary says that the Hebrew word shamar can mean to keep, have charge of, to keep, guard, keep watch. So, the real sense of the word is not just to keep, but to guard. The following verses translate the Hebrew word shamar as keep, kept, keeping, or observe. Although is translated mostly as keep, shamar is translated a number of different ways. We have talked about how a form of the word shamar was even translated as diligent, as in diligently keep. Perhaps we could say, shamar, shamar, God's commandments. Deuteronomy 6:17 NKJV says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God." Shamar is used nearly 300 times in the Old Testament portion. Let's put in the other meaning for shamar, to guard, and see how these verses sound. H8104 is a reference to the Hebrew Strong's number for those of you who like to dig deeper. When we say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers, we are asking God to guard us. Numbers 6:24-26 NKJV says, "The Lord bless you and keep," H8104, "you, the Lord make His face shine upon you, and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, and give you peace." This psalm asks God to guard us as the apple of His eye. Psalm 17:8 NKJV says, "Keep," H8104, "me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." The psalmist says in this verse that he has guarded God's commandments and not done evil. Psalms 18:21 NKJV says, "For I have kept," H8104, "the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God." This scripture says that by guarding God's commandments there can come great reward. Psalms 19:11 NKJV says, "Moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping," H8104, "of them there is great reward." This scripture says that they have not kept their pledge to God and have refused to keep His law. Remember, the word for covenant can also mean pledge according to Strong's dictionary. We are not born into our faith, but each of us must pledge ourselves to God by our own decision. It is a false concept that we are born as believers. People may say they are born Protestant or Catholic, for example, but are not true believers until they pledge themselves to God and begin keeping God's commandments. Psalm 78:10 NKJV says, "They kept," H8104, "not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in His law." In this verse, it is referring to the great works of God. We are to guard our knowledge of God's goodness. God cares about mankind. Psalms 107:43 NKJV says, "Whoso is wise, and will observe," H8104, "these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." This verse tells us to guard God's commandments diligently. In this verse, the word diligently is the Hebrew word for much. Psalms 119:4 NKJV says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep, H8104, thy precepts diligently." This verse expresses the sadness over those who do not guard God's law. Sadly, there are many who reject God's goodness through His law. Psalms 119:136 NKJV says, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep, H8104, not thy law." Allow the Holy Spirit to help you. Trust in God and enjoy the work of the Holy Spirit. God gave believers in the Messiah the Holy Spirit. It is part of the spiritual heritage of those who believe in the Messiah Yeshua. So, seek the Holy Spirit and the associated gifts. The following are some things we need to learn about the Holy Spirit. Also, see our Divine Healing Prayer class that is available online. Learn and grow spiritually both by keeping God's commandments and by using God's gift of the Holy Spirit. This week we have a special section on the Holy Spirit to help you with your spiritual walk. In Romans, it tells us that we have gifts of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12 6-8 CJB says, "We have gifts that differ in which are meant to be used according to the grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, use it to the extent of your trust. If it is serving, use it to serve. If you are a teacher, use your gift in teaching. If you are a counselor, use your gift to comfort and exhort. If you are someone who gives, do it simply and generously. If you are in a position of leadership, lead with diligence and zeal. If you are one who does acts of mercy, do them cheerfully." The Greek word here is the word for gifts. The gifts here are prophecy, serving, teaching, counseling, for comfort or encouragement, financial support, leading, and acts of mercy. 1 Corinthians 12:8-10 lists other gifts, and so does Ephesians 4:11. All the gifts are important, but prophecy is especially important according to Shaul. Shaul, Paul, says it is for edification. 1 Corinthians 14:1-3 NKJV says, "Pursue love, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Often people think that the prophetic is all about foretelling, but that is not what the Bible says. It says that it is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification is to build up or establish. It gives us confidence and helps us to follow God. Exhortation is to urge strongly or to make an appeal, namely, it is encouragement and urging to follow God. Comfort gives us strength or consoles us. It gives us hope and peace. Prophecy may be either forthtelling or foretelling. Forthtelling is speaking forth. In this case, it is a speaking forth to edify, exhort, and comfort. Foretelling is speaking of future events. The Bible says that prophecy is mostly to edify, to exhort, or to give comfort. Although God may give people warnings at times, that is not the primary purpose of prophecy. It is the pagan occult that is mostly concerned with fortune telling or foretelling. God uses the prophetic to build us up, to encourage us, to give us hope and peace. God wants us to be concerned with living the way He wants us to live and to follow His commandments. The prophetic is to help us do that. Occasionally, there may be a reason for someone to foretell. Don't confuse foretelling with the Holy Spirit leading us. God's commandments and the Holy Spirit are supposed to also help us and lead us in life. God's gifts are for everyone. Acts 2:38-39 NKJV says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" As many as God will call, that includes us. Shaul lists a few of the ways the Holy Spirit works in us in 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. Remember, Jewish lists are partial lists. That is why Shaul lists other ways the Holy Spirit works, in Romans 12:4-8, Ephesians 4:11 and Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Holy Spirit are also obvious ways the Holy Spirit works in us. 1 Corinthians 12:5-7 CJB says, "There are different ways of serving, but it is the same Lord being served. And there are different modes of working, but it is the same God working them all in everyone. Moreover, to each person is given the particular manifestation of the Spirit that will be for the common good." It says that God is at work through the Holy Spirit and that each person can participate. Shaul refers to them as gifts from God in Ephesians 4:8 CJB, "He gave gifts to mankind." Since these come from God, they are not natural abilities. In other words, when it talks about wisdom, it is direction given by God. Shaul lists wisdom. Wisdom is action, knowledge, information, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, supernatural events, prophecy, discerning spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We do them, but it is wisdom, knowledge, healing, tongues, from God, not from us. 1 Corinthians 12:11 CJB says, "One and the same Spirit is at work in all these things, distributing to each person as He chooses." It says that Holy Spirit is at work, and notice again that God gives these gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit to each person. Shaul describes the believers as a body where each of us can take part. It says in Ephesians 4:16 CJB, "The whole body is being fitted and held together by the support of every joint, with each part working to fulfill its function. This is how the body grows and builds itself up in love." The spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. There are more gifts, but we will just talk about the ones in 1 Corinthians 12:8-10 for now. Prophecy and interpretation of tongues are mostly for encouragement. Prophesying is speaking to people, edifying, encouraging and comforting them. 1 Corinthians 14:3 CJB. Shaul says that the supernatural interpretation of speaking in tongues is so that the congregation can be edified. 1 Corinthians 14:5 CJB. Speaking in tongues and interpretation is for edifying, so the gift of interpretation is much like the edifying, encouragement, and the comforting of prophecy. Speaking in tongues is for prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, the Bible says. Shaul talking about speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14:15 CJB, "I will pray with my spirit." The context is about speaking in tongues. Although it is prayer, Shaul says that it is not understood and not appropriate when believers come together unless it is interpreted supernaturally for the edification of others. A person can speak in tongues quietly while praying for others. A good general rule when praying for others is not to do things that are distracting or for show. Speaking in tongues out loud when praying for someone can be distracting because the Bible says that is not usually understood. Shaul says to speak in our own language, in 1 Corinthians 14:16. On the other hand, Shaul says in 1 Corinthians 14:39 CJB, "Do not forbid speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and God's gifts are good. Who wouldn't want gifts from the God of the universe?" Luke 11:10-13 CJB says, "For everyone who goes on asking receives, and he who goes on seeking finds, and to him who continues knocking, the door will be opened. Is there any father here who, if his son asked him for a fish, would instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asked for an egg would give him a scorpion? So if you, even though you are bad, know how to give your children gifts that are good, how much more will the Father keep giving the Ruach HaKodesh from heaven to those who keep asking Him?" Supernatural knowledge is information, wisdom is action, and the discerning of spirits is the impartation of God-given information about the presence of devil spirits or what to do if they are present. The discerning of spirits can tell us whether the Holy Spirit is present or a devil spirit is present. It also can test the source of the information. Did it come from the Holy Spirit or just godly thinking? Is a devil spirit present or is someone having sinful thoughts? These three gifts of the Holy Spirit are sometimes called revelation gifts. The Bible says we are in control of the Holy Spirit, see 1 Corinthians 14:32. The Holy Spirit does not possess us. The Talmudim, the apostles, the sent ones, spoke in tongues, God gave the words, and they did the speaking, it says. Acts 2:4 NKJV says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. God gave them the next word as they spoke, and they did the speaking. We could say that it is inspirational. It is not made up or by possession. When a person speaks in tongues, they can start and stop as they like. We are giving praise and thanksgiving to God, see 1 Corinthians 14:17, and it can be perfect prayer because it comes from God, see 1 Corinthians 14:15. It can edify us, help us spiritually, see 1 Corinthians 14:4, and Isaiah prophecies that God can give us rest through speaking in tongues, see Isaiah 28:11 and 1 Corinthians 14:21. There are other things that speaking in tongues can do for us. It is a good gift, and the Holy Spirit, and its associated gifts are good. There are false prophets, the Bible says. Are they leading people to live good and holy lives? Are they encouraging us to follow God? Are they fortune tellers? The Bible says fortune tellers and those who obtain information from various arts like palm reading, clairvoyance, clairaudience, auras, or possession is not from God. These counterfeit manifestations do not lead people to God but distract us and sometimes put wrong thoughts in our minds. There are resources available on spiritual warfare and counterfeit manifestations. We are to test the prophetic words we hear. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 CJB says, but do test everything, hold on to what is good. Also, inspiration is a form of supernatural knowledge or wisdom from God and is a moment-by-moment impartation of these spiritual gifts. Revelation can even include a personal encounter with Yeshua, as was the case for Shaul on the way to Damascus, Galatians 1. Faith is the impartation of God-given faith, miracles are extraordinary works of God, and gifts of healing are imparted healings by God. Notice that healings are gifts, and so it is up to God whether or not He will heal. How the Holy Spirit may work. The prophets in the Old Testament heard from God, see Exodus 12:6, Genesis 15:1. There were even schools of prophets. The Jewish writings say that Shem had a school of prophets. Shem was also known as Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which is our modern-day Jerusalem. There is a school of prophets mentioned in 2 Kings 4:38-40. Also, it says in 2 Kings 4:38-40 that when the prophets tasted the soup, God told them it was not good to eat. God can use our inner senses to speak to us, in this case taste. The associated gifts of the Holy Spirit are in the Old Testament portion. So, we know how they operate because we have scriptures that talk about them being used. Only speaking in tongues is new for the believers of the Messiah Yeshua. Shaul says that Isaiah talks about speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14:21. Isaiah 28:11 is about the messianic gift of speaking in tongues. Paul tells us that we are threefold people yet one, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. In the Hebrew, soul refers to life, what makes us alive. Referring to soul as some unembodied essence is a pagan concept. When Yeshua tells the story about the man gaining the world, but losing his soul, Yeshua is talking about the man's life. If you have lots of stuff, but die, it doesn't do you any good. There is a double meaning to this though. If you focus on worldly things and neglect spiritual things, you may be in for a rude awakening when God judges the world. Shaul talks about the inner man. This unseen part of us is our spirit, and it is what makes us who we are. This is probably where the Holy Spirit works, in the spirit of man. The spirit of man is simply what makes a person a person. It's our inside person. Ephesians 3:16 NKJV says, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. It is the Holy Spirit that works in our spirit, our inner man. We see examples of this in the Bible by God revealing things to people through visions and our other senses. We could say that it is through the inner person. These visions are in our mind, or we hear God speak in our mind, etc. We know from the scriptures that we receive words from God, revelation, through seeing or visions. See Genesis 15:1. There are lots of examples of visions in the Bible. Hearing. See 1 Samuel 3:10. There are lots of examples of hearing from God in Bible. Smelling. See in Matt 10:1, the reference to unclean spirits, namely, devil spirits, probably has to do with a bad smell. Tasting. In Mark 16:17-18, it talks about food not poisoning us. Before we eat or drink something bad, God can tell us if it is bad. Also see 2 Kings 4:40. Touch. Sometimes we can feel the pain of the other person. Feeling. God can tell us how another person is feeling emotionally. Do not confuse this with empathy. Do not manufacture empathy either and think it is a word from God. We don't know what other people are thinking. Knowing. God often gives us a knowing so that we understand a vision or word. Often God will give us the same visions at different times, and that builds our spiritual, prophetic, vocabulary. For example, perhaps we see a vision of a flower and we associate the vision with glorifying God. If we don't understand what God is telling us, ask God for more revelation to help you understand. Understanding. God can help us understand situations. He will tell us what to do and even give us understanding in the moment. See Luke 12:11-12. Physical phenomena may accompany words. For example, the handwriting on the wall in Daniel. Inspiration. Is God telling us something in the moment and we speak it or do it without thought? For example, when Kepha, Peter, lifted up lame man up by the hand by inspiration. Miriam, Mary, and Elizabeth both had inspirational prophecy when they met each other. Prayer can be inspirational words from God sometimes, and some people pray this way. This knowledge and wisdom that we receive from God we call words from God or revelation because they are God-given information. They are not gut feelings or personal insight. We do not give people good advice and say it was from God. That is wrong. We are to test what is said. People can make mistakes about what God is telling them. 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21 NKJV says, "Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good." Often God first expects us to use our heads first, think, gather information, and make good decisions. Also, I often ask God about anything major before I proceed. He may give you some information or he may not. We may ask, but it is always up to God if he will tell us anything. For example, I used to ask God what I should do about someone. And he kept giving me the same answer from Leviticus, the word love. Leviticus 19:18-19 NKJV says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall keep my statutes." Some gifts are occasional. We can all operate in any of the gifts/manifestations at various times. Some are constitutional. We may have a specific gift that is with us all the time. Yeshua had all the gifts in operation any time God led him to use them. Revelation, knowledge, etc., often takes place internally when we are awake. In Acts 10:10-20, Kepha, Peter, became hungry, taste. I think God was telling him that God wanted the Gentiles to receive the Messiah. There were people back then who were making up added laws that kept the Gentiles outside the circle of believers. The Torah teaches us not to make inappropriate relations with idolaters. In the case of Acts 10, the Gentiles that came to Kepha were God-fearers and were not idolaters, but followers of the true God. They were not unclean. God told Kepha to not call unclean what God has called clean. God was using Kepha to correct the problem of the inappropriate added law. In Exodus 34, it is warning Israel not to form close relationships with idolaters. The Gentiles in Acts 10 were not idolaters and God wanted Gentiles to also believe in the Messiah. That was the issue. Exodus 34:16 CJB says, "Do not make a covenant with the people living in the land. It will cause you to go astray after their gods and sacrifice to their gods. Instead, some were inappropriately saying they were not to associate with Gentiles at all. He had a vision, and he heard God talk to him. God was not telling Kepha, Peter, that it is okay to eat just anything. God will not tell us to disobey his good commandments. The revelation gifts can also take place in dreams. Joseph, the wife of Mary, had dreams, see Matthew 1:20, and the Magi had dreams, Matt 2:12. Acts 2:17 NKJV says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." We should also test the dreams, see 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Are they from God, from our own minds, are we under spiritual attack, or do we have an overactive stomach? The revelation gifts occur in the inner man, but occasionally may occur physically in an outward vision or voice. The heavens were open to Yeshua. See Matthew 3:16-17. Philip saw Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. See Acts 7:56. The people around Yeshua also heard an audible voice. See John 12:28. Elisha prayed for the young man's eyes to be opened and he saw the mountain full of horses and chariots. Say 2 Kings 6:17. The writing on the wall in Daniel remained there because the king asked people to interpret what was written. See Daniel 5:5. It says the Ten Commandments were written by the hand of God. Deuteronomy 33:2. God leads us and he will use us if we are willing to take the risk. The gifts are not automatic. We must pursue them. Sometimes God will have something for us and at other times not. You won't receive anything if you don't ask for or pursue the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1 CJB says, "Pursue love. However, keep on eagerly seeking the things of the Spirit, and especially seek to be able to prophesy." Also, what we receive from God will not contradict the Bible. That is also important to understand. Are you hearing from God? Are they your own thoughts, or is the devil tempting you? What we receive for others should be given in a caring and considerate way. Help others to save face so they don't fall into condemnation. Galatians 6:1 CJB Brothers, suppose someone is caught doing something wrong. You who have the Spirit should set him right, but in a spirit of humility, keeping an eye on yourself so that you won't be tempted too. Sometimes even the mention of a fault will help a person to self-correct. For example, are you having trouble with feeling down at times? They many say no, but they may realize that they need to start resisting the devil and not keep going over and over those thoughts that are troubling them. Don't be harsh or accusative. When we pray for someone, we should first ask them what they want prayer for and then pray for that. We can also ask God what to pray for. God can use us to bring about life-changing moments and much-needed encouragement. God can use us to heal others by the power of God. God can do miracles through us. God can give us a gift of faith, and just like in the Old Testament portion, he can give us gifts in particular skills or even artistry. God is not limited to the gifts we see in the Bible. After all, he is God. Jewish lists were not intended to be complete lists. Shaul, Paul, give several lists of gifts and that is the reason they are not all the same. We may give words of revelation, knowledge, wisdom, or discerning of spirits, prophecy, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, or a word of inspiration in a meeting. The early believers did this. 1 Corinthians 14:26 CJB says, "Whenever you come together, let everyone be ready with a psalm or a teaching or a revelation, or ready to use his gift of tongues or give an interpretation, but let everything be for edification." The Bible says to let all things be done with order, see 1 Corinthians 14:40, and when giving words just a few people should give this God-given information, see 1 Corinthians 14:27-29. Again, speaking in tongues is mostly for prayer, but when we come together, it should be interpreted supernaturally. Shaul says in 1 Corinthians 14:39 CJB, Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Those who receive the Holy Spirit should seek gifts of the Holy Spirit. See 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 CJB says, "Test everything, hold on to what is good." Again, what God gives us is good. The Ruach HaKodesh means the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:11-13 CJB says, "Is there any father here who, if his son asked him for a fish, would instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asked for an egg would give him a scorpion? So if you, even though you are bad, know how to give your children gifts that are good, how much more will the Father keep giving the Ruach HaKodesh from heaven to those who keep asking him?" We will now begin our Torah study. We do not always understand why God does what he does. In this portion, both rich and poor give the same amount for atonement. It was to be used for the work on the Mishkan, the tent of meeting. Perhaps this means that God accepts all believers equally. Everyone could give, so perhaps it was to make sure that everyone knew that the Mishkan was for the benefit of everyone. Some things that God does are obvious while others are not. That does not mean they do not have a purpose or an effect. There is a tendency for people to value the extraordinary and also those who are extraordinary. God can help us so much more than just what natural knowledge and one's ability has to offer. Spiritual wisdom is over and above natural wisdom and is unfathomable in its work and effect. Ki tisa means when you take. This portion begins by God telling Moshe to take up a census of everyone over 20. Everyone was to give a half shekel as an atonement, which was to be used in the service of the Mishkan. It was intended to be a memorial for the Mishkan. The word atonement here is the Hebrew word which means to cover as in make reconciliation. So, it was a memorial ritual they did do for what the Mishkan provided for them, namely, the opportunity to make reconciliation to God. Then it says they were to make a copper laver for the priests to wash their hands and feet at the Mishkan. They would take water from the laver to wash their hands and feet. They were to make a specific anointing oil that was to only be used for the high priest and later also for the king. They were to make a special incense which was only to be used at the Mishkan. Bezalel and Aholiab were given special spiritual wisdom for the work of the Mishkan, and the others working on the Mishkan would also receive wisdom from God to do the work. It says in Exodus 20:11 NKJV that they were to keep Shabbat for, "In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." This is quoting Genesis 2:3 from the time of creation. Shabbat was meant for all believers for all of time. Shabbat is not just an agreement between Israel and God. Since the creation, mankind knew that God rested on the seventh day, which is our Friday night and Saturday during the day, and they observed Shabbat. For example, Abraham kept God's laws, see Genesis 26:5. Also, the Bible says we are to imitate God. Leviticus 20:26 NKJV says, "And you shall be holy to me, for I the Lord am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." Yeshua said in Matthew 5:48 NKJV, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." God rested on the seventh day and made it holy. We are to keep God's holy days. The seventh day is not Sunday. The day of rest was changed by a pagan to honor the Sun God. On March 7, 321, however, Roman Emperor Constantine I issued a civil decree making Sunday a day of rest from labor, stating, "All judges and city people and the craftsmen shall rest upon the venerable day of the sun." I found this at Wikipedia. Org under Sabbath_and_Christianity. Then God gave Moshe the stone tablets made by the finger of God. The tablets were inscribed by the finger of God in stone both times, see Exodus 31:18 and 34:1. It shows God's immense power as stone is one of the hardest materials to work with. For example, concrete is used in all our buildings and most of our roads because of its rock hardness. God can do what no person can do. Meanwhile, while Moshe is on the mountain, the people become impatient and make a golden calf to worship. Moshe intercedes for the people and God then decides not to punish Israel. We should remember that God is merciful. We should repent, decide to do things right, and ask God for forgiveness. We commit sin against God by not trusting in Him and by not keeping His commandments. Therefore, we must seek God's forgiveness. We may need to make reparation and seek others' forgiveness as well. Not everyone will be amenable to our efforts, or it may not be possible at times because of circumstances. At that point, we can only ask God for forgiveness. Moshe then comes down the mountain and is angry and throws the tablets down and destroys the golden calf. The Bible suggests Moshe should not have broken the tablets. What he did though shows us his devotion and the zealous feelings that he had for Jehovah. Moshe had the golden calf ground down into powder and threw it into the water and made the people drink it. Aharon blames Israel for the idolatry. God was displeased with the idolatry of the golden calf and also because Israel did not trust in his power. Most pagan gods were depicted at times as riding on an animal. It is possible that Aaron has this in mind, but we do not know for sure. Some worship the calf, and any form of idolatry is wrong. God is especially displeased with idolatry. He is the one true God, and we should be careful not to give credit to any other god or power. Right after the sin of golden calf, God has Moshe tell them to keep Shabbat. That is the day that God rested after he created everything. Honoring Shabbat says that we believe that God is the creator and nothing else. Those that keep the day of rest on the pagan day of the sun god think they are honoring God. Deuteronomy 18:9-12 You shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Verse 12 says, For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. I am just quoting what the Bible says. Read your Bible. Moshe asks for those who are for Jehovah to support him and the Levites that support him put to death 3,000. At the real Mount Sinai, there is an ancient graveyard. Again, Moshe intercedes for Israel. Some end up dying from a plague as a result of the idolatry that was committed. The Lord tells the Israelites to take the land of Canaan and drive out the inhabitants, but the people instead mourn. God is displeased with Israel and tells them to remove their extra adornments, ornaments. Before the Mishkan was built, Moshe would go outside the camp to meet with God in his former tent. The cloud would descend at the entrance to the tent when Moshe entered. God would then speak to Moshe. The people would watch Moshe go out to the tent and the cloud would then descend at the entrance. Joshua would also stay at the tent. After the Mishkan was built, it was located within the camp. Moshe asks that the Lord go before them, and the Lord says that he will. When Moshe goes up the mountain again, this time with the two tablets that he had made because he broke the first ones, the Lord passes before Moshe and proclaims his goodness. From Exodus 34:6-7 the Jews have put together the 13 attributes of God's mercy. Exodus 34:6-7 NKJV says, The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Moshe comes down the mountain and his face is shining from when Jehovah passed before him. We learn of a good God in this portion, that he is a God of mercy and that his people can count on him. We should also remember that we can count on Jehovah and our Messiah Yeshua. The Hebrew word for Messiah means anointed one. Yeshua is our anointed king who died for our sins so we could be forgiven. He rose from the dead and will someday return as our ruler and king. Like Moshe has gone away for a short time, Yeshua has gone away until the restoration of the future kingdom. Will you remain faithful? Yeshua the Messiah is our anointed king. Finally, in this portion, God is to be their banner in all they do. God promises the land to Israel and he says that he will drive out the inhabitants. Israel was not to make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and Israel was to destroy their idols. They are to observe the three main feasts and not come empty-handed to them. The firstborn of everything belongs to the Lord. They were to redeem their firstborn sons. Moshe is again on the mountain for 40 days and God inscribes the tablets. When he came down his face shined and it scared the Israelites, so he put a veil over his face. There are two accounts of God writing the Ten Commandments with his finger. Moshe went up the mountain several times and not just twice. The Haftorah for Ki Tisah is 1 Kings 18:1-39. In these verses Elijah challenges 450 prophets of Baal and the first one whose God responds with fire is the true God. The prophets of Baal fail even though they are very zealous for Baal. Elijah taunts the prophets of Baal and when it comes to his turn, God burns up the sacrifice and even the stones and water that surrounded it. In this Torah portion, we see God demanding the respect he deserves and that he is a merciful and good God. In the Haftorah, God even burns up the stones at the sacrifice. The stones that burned up perhaps remind us of the commandments that God inscribed in stone with his finger. God has power over the elements. We should know that our God is the true God and there is no other God but him. Israel was to be faithful and trust in him, and we should be faithful to him and trust in him too. 1 Kings 18:38-39 NKJV says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.' They declared that Jehovah is Elohim, Jehovah is Elohim." They used God's true name and said that Jehovah is the true God. It says in Exodus 3:15 that Jehovah will be God's name forever. The word Lord in all capital letters, depending on the translation you are using, is Jehovah in the Hebrew. Commandments, implied commandments, permissions, and other concepts. We can also understand commandments are being implied from other scriptures in the Bible. There are other possible concepts than what is shared here. God tells Moshe to take up a census of everyone over 20. Everyone was to give a half shekel as an atonement which was to be used in the service of the Mishkan. A half shekel in modern terms is a little less than a half dollar. They were not to give more or less, so the rich were to give the same as the poor. Perhaps this was to demonstrate that each person is valuable. It was intended to be a memorial for the Mishkan. The word atonement is the Hebrew word which means to cover as in make reconciliation. So, it was a memorial ritual they would do for what the Mishkan provided for them, namely, the opportunity to make reconciliation. We need reconciliation to God so that we can be in the future eternal kingdom of God. Exodus 30 11-12. Yeshua the Messiah makes restitution for us in this messianic era, and we are to do a remembrance ceremony whenever we do Kiddush, see Luke 22 17-19. Hebrews 7 24-28 NKJV referring to Yeshua it says. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. They were to wash their hands and feet when serving at the sanctuary. Perhaps the washing of hands can be applied to anyone who handles food because the Kohen and people were to eat from the sacrifices. Exodus 30:19-20. They were to make a special holy anointing oil for the high priest and the king. Another anointing oil should be used on other occasions and for other things. Exodus 30:25. The anointing oil for the high priest is not for anyone else. Exodus 30:32-33. The incense for the Mishkan is not to be copied and used for anything else. Flowers and sweet fragrances are enjoyable, but we should not incorporate anything pagan like the use pagan incense holders or containers. Pagans use incense in their worship, so we should not use incense at our meetings. Exodus 30:37-38. We are commanded not to do what the pagans do. Leviticus 18:24-25 NKJV says, "Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants." Also in Jeremiah 10:2-4 NKJV it says, "Do not learn the way of the Gentiles, do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile, for one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold, they fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They were not to worship another god or make any other god." Exodus 34:14-17. They are not to eat anything that was offered to an idol and not eat with idolaters. Exodus 34:15-16. In Yeshua's time they ostracized believing Gentiles who were not idolaters, which was wrong. It was an extra misapplied man-made law made up by Torah breakers. Deuteronomy 4:2 NKJV says, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." This was the issue in Galatians chapter 2 when Kepha and others got up from eating with Gentile believers when the Torah breakers showed up. The Gentiles in Galatians chapter 2 were believers and not idolaters. They were to keep the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. Every male that opens the womb of man and animal belong to God, but may be redeemed. The 7th day is a day of rest. They are to keep the feast of weeks. 3 times they were to appear before Jehovah. Exodus 34:18-23. No sacrifices are to contain leaven. They were not to do the fertility god practice of boiling a goat in its mother's milk, and they were to bring their first fruits to the house of God. Exodus 34:25-26. The extra law of not having dairy with meat is a misapplied law. God gave them the law to not boil a goat in its mother's milk to make sure they did not observe the Canaanite fertility ritual. The rabbis say that since God repeated the command, there must be a reason, so they made up the law of not having dairy with meat. Repetition is a form of encouragement, not a license to make up doctrine. Let's say the Aaronic blessing. Lord in all caps in our Bibles is the name for God which is pronounced Jehovah. Jehovah is used over 6,000 times in the Old Testament portion. Since God's name is used that many times, it is evident that we should be using His real name. According to Exodus 3:15, Jehovah is God's true name forever. Of course, we should use His name with respect. Jehovah is an acronym formed from the Hebrew verb haya. Jehovah means, He existed, He exists, and He will exist. I want to honor God's name. The ancient rabbis say that Jehovah is God's name. 2,363 different manuscripts of the Bible point God's name as Jehovah, once as Yehovah, never as Yahweh. The church fathers said God's name is Jehovah. Yeshua said in Matthew 23:39 NKJV, "You shall see me no more till you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Yeshua is quoting Psalm 118:26. The word Lord in that verse in Psalms is Jehovah. I encourage you to use God's real name with respect at times. Numbers 6:27 says we are to put God's name on His people. Let's say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:24-26. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up His face upon you and give to you peace. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.